If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Welcome to the 132nd episode of Lake of Rage Pokemon Trading Card Game Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Kevin Clementi, aka Mellow _ Magikarp. I'm joined today by two very special temporary guest hosts. I'm incredibly excited for this episode. You've heard recently that we have added our advertisement for our sponsor, Tabletop Village, into the middle of the episodes. And if you are skipping 15 seconds ahead to skip that advertisement, you're really missing out on some great deals if you use code MELLOW5. But we have the owner of Tabletop Village here to join us for the second time, the one and only Brian Myers. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful.
And then joining us for the first time, we have one of the employees at Tabletop Village who is starting an incredibly exciting program we're going to be talking about today, the one and only Owen Xia. Owen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderfully. I just got off of work from Tabletop.
Yeah, because the owner was busy in San Antonio, so you had to take over, didn't you?
It was a pretty chill day today, all things considered. Sundays, I keep thinking to myself, there can't possibly be more kids than there were the previous Sunday, and then I'm like proven wrong.
For those who don't know, Sunday is family day, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Not why we're here, but do you want to talk about what family day looks like at Tabletop Village? Because I know we have plenty of people who run leagues who listen to this. We have a couple store owners who do listen to this. So what does family day look like?
How about you take it away, Brian?
Okay, family day. So we started family day, it's been almost 3 years now. And it is a day where kids, families, parents can all come. And it started this way because we had a very great community already built up. And you all know him, Jeff, started just inviting more and more and more families. Oh, you want to learn how to play Pokemon? So it was just became a great day where if you didn't know how, or you wanted to learn or wanted to get better at Pokemon, and you with kids, or even you as a parent wanted to learn how to play Pokemon with your kid, you'd come in and play Pokemon. And then it's kind of warped into this, like, it's kind of big. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of kids from all over the place. Even visiting families from the area will come and be like, oh, I heard you can play Pokemon on Sundays. They come and they visit. And then Owen can tell you about the actual programs that we do, because we kind of like, we got it so big where it's like it used to be, you know, 8-10 kids, and now it's like 30-40 kids. So now Owen runs programs.
Oh, yeah. Family Day kind of like, I think I started realizing that I could not, you know how like when kids need something, they just ask you at that moment. They don't understand what a queue is. They don't wait. They hate being told to wait, actually. So rather than try to set up games for like 20 kids all individually, I'm like, what if we get them all playing at the same time instead, so it's just easier to run and make it more organized? So it started with me just running a few like raid battles at Tabletop, where I pretend to be my evil twin brother Bowen, and I create a mutant V Union Pokemon called Mukachuzation Ninja, and they have to defeat Bowen to save Tabletop Village. We did that today. It was really fun. But it became like we started doing other group activities. Like we started doing 3v3 tournaments. We ran one with like 21 kids the other like week. It's like One Piece 3v3 where everyone just plays a singles match against the other team of three, and whoever wins the 2 of 3 wins. And if you you can help everyone around you. We also did big team battle where you get two teams and they draft teams and they just fight each other in 1v1s, and whichever team wins more wins. And for every activity kids participated in, they get a prize pack. We're just kind of like giving out a ton of prize packs at family day. It's just been really fun for everyone involved, I think. And the parents really love it. The kids really love it. It's been a lot of fun.
I love to hear stores actually giving out the prize packs.
We have so many of them. Like, why not?
Yeah, we gave out a lot of prize packs.
So one of the reasons that we brought you all here today is there is something super exciting happening at Tabletop Village, and Owen DM'd me about the idea of, hey, can I talk about how I now have essentially a dream job? And this is a new program that started at Tabletop Village, an after school program. Brian, can you kind of lead us into what is it and how did you come up with this idea?
Well, let's say, I guess it's again, it's an offshoot of Sunday family days that then turned into what became our summer camps and winter camps, and then turned into after school programs at the school. And we're also going to do after school programs at Tabletop Village. Being a former counselor at, you know, high schools and middle schools, and then also going and doing after school programs for the Filipino community, it just seemed a good way to find the students or the young people that wanted to learn how to play Pokemon. And me, as you know, my whole education and background is getting, you know, wanting kids to learn and wanting kids to do well in school and succeed and be successful young people who want, and if they want to play Pokemon, it's a good way for them to learn faster, comprehension, math, ratios, strategy, and then also do social interactions with others. And I thought, what better way to do a program that's just that revolves around Pokemon? And that's what we do. We know Pokemon. So we, Owen, who led summer programs, did great, because it takes a special kind of person that wants to go into schools and educate kids, as you will know.
True.
That it takes a special person. And so it just worked out. Like, Owen did great with the kids. We had a great summer program. And, you know, the next summer, we're like, okay, let's ask these schools if they would want a Pokemon program. And again, as a local game store, we only have so much capacity, right? Only, like, if we packed every day with 100 kids, we would still not reach every kid that really wanted to learn how to play Pokemon. And it this feels like a better way to, like, get out in the community and help grow our own community of young players. Because that's our pride. That, like, that's our pride and joy at Tabletop Village, is, like, yes, there are a lot of other game stores that have great players who are masters. We had a lot of great juniors and seniors. In fact, like, I feel like we're very good, and our community is very good at teaching young people how to play. We win a lot out in regionals and internationals. And so why not share? Why not share what we've learned and how we've learned to teach, as young as my son, right? My son is the epitome of, like, growing up and learning Pokemon from a very young age and be able to be good at it over and over and over again, because he has a great community and a village and where he gets to learn. And if we want to grow that community, then we actually have to go out there and meet the kids where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we did it. Like, it was like, it just made sense, because we were good. We're good with kids, and our kids are very good at playing Pokemon.
Ryan, I know you're not the type to ever bring this up, but I want you to bring it up. What are some of the accomplishments from the kids at Tabletop Village? Like, specific, because there was even very recently some very impressive top cuts at regionals dominated by Tabletop Village kids.
Dominated. So we'll start with actually our worst showing, San Antonio Regionals, 0 top 8. And it's the first time in, I feel like, in the almost the last 2 years where a Tabletop Villager in the juniors and seniors division didn't make top cut. Just most recently, before that, Prince Williams, who's a tabletop villager, won LAIC. Polaris Salteras, my son, won OCIC last year, for the last ever reigning champion forever, OCIC champion, senior division. And then we top cut a lot. Logan Bailey won Sacramento in juniors. We Sacramento, we took 7 of the 16 top cut placings. Before that, I think we did 4 in Toronto. Every cup we show up, and or every regional we show up and we crush it. And the every cup in the region is probably
that's on lockdown.
Tabletop villagers. Yeah. We locked down this region in the juniors.
Aren't you forgetting? Aren't you almost forgetting Worlds?
Oh yes, and Polaris did top 8. He was actually the only senior in North America to top 8 at Worlds. And then we did, I think, last year, 6 or 7. We sent about 7 or 8 juniors or seniors to Worlds, got their invites. And this year, I think we're looking at 12. We'll probably send 12 juniors and seniors to get their who will get their invite and play in Hawaii.
That's just so incredibly impressive from, nice. You know, a single store that's able to do this, you know, and have that community built where, and I've seen it at cups where it's away from Tabletop Village, you know, cups that are within the Seattle area where the kids all know each other. The kids all play each other like 4 or 5 times a week, it seems like, and they're helping each other out. They're very aware of how records go and who's actually going to be winning the tournament. They're very aware of like resistance way beyond most masters are, and they're there to play each other, but they're also there to help each other. It's a very collegial aspect, and it's impressive. It's impressive to see, you know, 10-year-olds against each other, and they're into it. They are trying to win the game. They're trying to beat the other person, but afterwards they're still hanging out and chatting with each other and saying, oh, that was such a good game. You know, that was super fun. And then, yeah, it's so impressive to see what Tabletop Village has really turned into and what that community really has become.
Yeah. I think it's nothing short of amazing with what we've done. Like it always gets me when I think about how many of our juniors and seniors that we've grown in Tabletop Village in the very short last year and a half to 2 years after pandemic, who will travel now to all these events. Like right now, there's 6 kids down in the pool from Tabletop Village swimming after they've done with their regional here in San Antonio. Cool. And then Owen can tell you really what we do at these programs. And Owen did a great job. You know, we were a little scared of how many schools would actually really want Tabletop Village to be there, right? And then Owen got them, and we filled up 5 schools first quarter. And then he could tell you more where we're at second quarter. Go ahead, Owen. Tell him what we do.
All right, let's get into it. All right, this is what I've been excited to talk about. In July of this year, I just was crawling through Seattle Public Schools. I just emailed every school president, every school principal about the possibility of a Pokemon Club, and I edited some stuff on the website, took some pictures. They all ghosted me, I thought, I'm like, man, this is not happening, this is terrible. It turns out principals aren't in charge of enrichment programs, PTA presidents are. And the few that I just cold emailed, we've managed to scrape by like 5 schools for the fall quarter. And it's been a lot of like learning and uncertainty. I did not realize like how much of a skill classroom management is. I'm sure you know, Kevin.
I do.
It's like setting expectations and like trying to... Kids are lawyers. If you don't set expectations, they always know when you've like... They always bring up stuff in the past if it benefits them. If it doesn't, they forget instantly. But that's besides the point. We went into the schools and I wrote a curriculum, and I think it's mostly there to just get kids to enjoy playing Pokemon. They're still a far cry away from becoming a, you know, world's top eight yet, but we'll see. I think Lynn said it best about what she loves about her kid playing Pokemon. It's that she says that she loves how her daughter Annabelle had created a sense of identity from being good at Pokemon, and like she's known to her friends as the Pokemon player. And I think a lot of people, I was like wondering if like anyone would feel a sense of identity and community from playing Pokemon together at Pokemon Club every week. But I've also learned that children don't say thank you unless their parents remind them to a lot of the time. And so for the first few weeks, I was just like, man, do they even like this? Like, they're still forgetting to draw for turn like 6 weeks in, you know? But a lot of we just had our first quarter finish, and a lot of the kids on the final day, they kept telling me like how much they love Pokemon Club. Their parents really sent, I got a lot of messages telling them how like their kids don't like anything, but they really love like being a part of Pokemon Club. It's just me like using all like silly Pokemon themed activities I could think of. Like I made a fake card quiz to try to teach the kids how to not get scammed. So I would put like silly fake cards next to like real cards. Turns out nobody knows that Alf Lithograph is a real card, or like, I don't know, Mario Pikachu or Gold Charizard is a real card. So it's just, I don't know, trying to just share love of Pokemon with them.
To be fair, Alf Lithograph looks incredibly fake. And if you can somehow read the card, it still sounds incredibly fake. So I don't blame the kids at all.
Yeah, but yes, absolutely. But what I'm really excited about is I've been going to the schools, and a lot of the kids are finally starting to just go to tabletop. They're like, oh, these guys who like give us like cool cards and teach us how to play and bring like pre-constructed decks for everyone and is like patient with us, they like, we should visit them. And so a lot of kids have been coming to Tabletop Village they're starting to come to Tabletop Village on Sundays. The Sunday community is growing, and it's been kind of cool like introducing the children who enjoyed Pokemon Club at their school to other kids who are also part of Pokemon Club, and it's been really wonderful like trying to grow just the juniors community, you know.
I have some logistical questions that presumably listeners are also, but like for anyone out there who's like, oh, this is super cool. Maybe they live in the Seattle area and they do have a kid, or someone who's in a different area and like, oh, I'd love to start something like this. So you mentioned you reached out to a few schools.
Mm-hmm.
How do the kids actually get to Tabletop Village? Like, is there any sort of transportation thing? Is it the parents bringing them? And is there a cost involved with, this is a lot of time that, you know, they're spending after school, right? So how does that stuff all work?
Oh, so the programs are being run at the school. So I just drive to a different elementary school every day of the week. Seattle's pretty big, I've learned. There's a lot. Sometimes you drive a while.
True.
But so I contact the schools. Their schools, turns out the PTA is putting together enrichment programs. They're just looking for like vendors who are communicative and responsible. So we try to really give off the impression that we care a lot about the child's experience, in which we do. But logistically, we charge $25 a week for the kids for forever, however long the quarter is. And so it's usually anywhere from 7 to 11 weeks, and I have a really flexible curriculum for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's 90-minute sessions. Are there anything else? We run classes from 8 to 18 students. If we get dedicated PTA volunteers, it helps a lot, so we bump up the cap to 24. Otherwise, it's been like, I'd say like I had one 22-person class, and it was kind of on the verge of manageable, so I don't know. It's pretty good still.
Okay.
I'd say.
How did you come up with this? Okay, I think I have a more important question to go way back to something you said earlier. So you mentioned one of the parents talked about their kid finding like a sense of self from this. How do you, Owen, foster that environment?
They develop it somewhere along the way. I think when they find that they're good at it, or they, I think when they're pointed, okay, here's the thing. They've started coming to coaching, And the thing about I've realized about coaching children is even when you like play open-handed with them and you coach them how to beat you, they feel extremely accomplished in beating you. You know what I mean? Like you teach them how to win, and then once they learn how to win, they believe that they've understood all the answers to winning. And I think that is wonderful in its own way, you think. I think they develop a lot of confidence from being good at Pokemon or understanding Pokemon. And I think that Pokemon is like a lot of kids are really emotional about Pokemon. I remember like last week we had the final, we always do a final tournament. We always give out packs for the final tournament. And at one of the days, five kids were crying because they lost their match. And I carry a bunch of like these metal hand puzzles to give them, and they instantly stop crying when I give it to them. One of my teacher hacks, I guess. But when the kids, I think they cry because they're really invested emotionally. Mm-hmm. Like when you give them Pokemon cards, I think on the first day Brian came with me, I gave a kid a Pokemon card. He got to pick the Pokemon card, and he cried because he got the wrong one even though he got one that he didn't want as much, even though he got to pick early in the queue. But I think once you, they have a lot of passion for Pokemon, but I think they want to develop confidence in like actually playing the game. Mm-hmm. And I think once they like learn, and like get better at it and like are guided towards where they want to be, because it's something they love so much and they feel so strongly about, I think it like really enables them to explore what they feel passionate about in that way, you know?
What does a kid look like who usually joins in on this? Are they someone who they know Pokemon, they've gotten cards for Christmas, or is this something where this has been kind of forced upon them of like the parents need somewhere for them to go and they're like, this seems okay? Like, what does an average kid look like?
An average kid, if you literally didn't teach them how to battle and just told them to trade the entire time, they'd probably be content with the club.
But they're coming in with their own cards and like a knowledge of Pokemon then.
I think the thing is, I just assume everyone starts at zero. And if they say they already know how to play, they don't know how to play and they know fake rules. And then they tell the other kids fake rules. Mm-hmm. Like kids who tell me they already know how to play, I like walk in on their matches and they're both like playing cards on their opponent's turn. They're just discarding cards for no reason. No one, it's either they don't know how to play or it's only playground rules. Okay. And so the average child who's like comes in either, it's just like something they're trying out for fun to see if they make it fun for them. Mm-hmm. And I think we try to like make it like the process like really, I don't know, smooth for them to learn how to play. The average one is just like a Pokemon fan. They've gotten cards for Christmas. They have a lot of fake cards and they're really sad to learn that they're fake cards a lot of the time. So we have a no fake card trading policy. Mm-hmm. As a result of it. Just trying to keep I think at the end of the day, if they're happy and safe and they don't lose cards, which we have to be really stringent about. Like we have to tell them to like not have cards out if it's not trade time, or also just lose them for no reason. Yeah. I don't know how to answer what the average kid looks like. It is very similar. You're not finding like people who are like prodigies at playing. And anyone who's a prodigy at playing just kind of has a pre-built deck, and they almost never have trainer cards in their decks. When they build them, they're always just like 60 Pokemon and like five different kinds of energy.
I mean, what more do you need? The Pokemon attacks and the energy get attached. That's valid. I see the logic.
Super easy.
So what is the goal when we're talking about, okay, you're going to five different schools right now. There's only 5 days in a week. So are we looking at further growth for this program as is, or is this kind of the like, well, you can only go to, you know, five schools during 5 days in a week?
There's only one of me, and there's only one after school time.
Yeah.
And
no, tell them what you did, Owen.
Okay, so it turns out a lot of the people, the PTA presidents, mm-hmm. Have their kids in after school programs, and a lot of them, and I think every school we've been at, like the program's been getting like rave reviews. Like, parents talk to each other, PTAs talk to each other. I've been invited to PTA nights. I'm in a weird, like, awkward, like, middle, but uncanny, like, middle between, like, parent and, like, kid, you know? So what am I doing at PTA meetings? I'm telling my friends that I'm at PTA meetings, but we have gotten many more schools, and we're training more people to go into the schools. Mm-hmm. like two more employees, Derek and John, are we got nine more schools for next quarter.
Nice.
So we're gonna be on three different we have three different like five day weeks, including Tabletop Academy, which is gonna be starting our in-house program.
So I know Seattle Public Schools has a very wide range of socioeconomic statuses. $20 for a quarter, $25 for a week isn't the most, but that could be a lot for some families. Is there any chance for people to potentially have any financial aid, or is that something we haven't worked into the program quite yet?
Brian? I'll defer to Brian for this one.
And I'm going to defer to me. So, yes. One, there's always at least, I think for every 14, is it every 14 students?
12 kids.
Only?
12.
Every 12 students, there's one additional scholarship kid who can get in. And then I think what will happen in the near future, because we've already been contacted by many Title I schools, mm-hmm. we're trying to figure out how best to approach Title I schools. And then if they can't afford it, how do we find the funding to help them afford it? And my hopes is at some point, some of these other schools, their extra funding and their extra money will be going towards these other Title I schools. Well, then we can continue to hire and bring on more, we're calling them enrichment coordinators, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
The enrichment. So Owen's about to be the director of enrichment coordinators. we can hire more coordinators and enrichment folks. I mean, professors, you know, they call the kids who walk in, they're like, is Professor Owen here? Like, Professor Owen don't work on Saturdays. You're going to have to come on Sunday. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow. But they, and then now there's already, and Professor John, right? Mm-hmm. And then Professor Derek, and they're already going into schools with Owen and learning what Owen's been doing. And then they're going to go off into their own five schools. And that's currently, we're now, 14 schools in the Seattle School District. And most of these schools, I would say, are probably not Title I schools. Again, my background is in ethnic studies and pre-counseling. I wanted to be a counselor, and I was a counselor in White Center, right? One of the most diverse, poorest areas of Seattle. And that, I think, what I would love to do is be able to make sure every kid who wants to learn how to play Pokemon has the ability to do so. So we'll figure it out. We'll branch out to Title I schools, and we'll get more professors to go and teach those schools. And since we're talking about it, like, the idea is to have 40, 50 schools. That means we have 10 professors going out there. We can have one. And I would think, and I do believe, as we grow and as we, you know, start to expand our, you know, Tabletop Village and grow more villages in different areas, hopefully in Denver, the DMV, the Virginia area, Los Angeles, and all these places are where there are already communities. And these communities have very strong junior and senior players that are surrounded with parents who actually really, really care, that want to, they would love to have a Tabletop Village in their area. So wherever we put a Tabletop Village, we're going to have Tabletop Village after school programs. And I believe wherever there is, unless there is a time where there's no more elementary schools, we'll always have after school programs, right? And we'll always have professors. And it's becoming a cyclical thing, right? You, a Tabletop Village can go into an area, and that area already has a community of players. And those players who they love Pokemon so much and they want to share it with other people, it's a dream job for a lot of folks to be able to go in and teach, right? Teach 2 to 3 hours a day, an hour and a half, but you know, it takes 2 to 3 hours. going to schools and teaching kids how to play, right? And then you go and you do other things at your tabletop village, whether it's coaching in the afternoon or listing cards or moving bulk, coaching kids there, doing after school programs there. Like that becomes someone's like fun, awesome dream job. And it helps grow the community. And then the best players get to have those kind of jobs because they're great at teaching, right?
I will confirm it is. Oh, sorry. It is a dream job.
Can you explain why this is a dream job, Owen? Like, what makes it something so special for you?
I think a lot of times I leave the school thinking one of two things. One school is like, oh man, that was horrible. I hope this doesn't ruin the business. But two, but sometimes it's just hard. You know, classroom management's hard sometimes. But two, I think at the end of the day, like, I just keep thinking, I can't believe this is my job. This is awesome. That was such a fun time. Like, it sounded like everyone had so much fun. It's really rewarding in that sense. For the first week, I didn't know really what to expect. So Brian came with me for the first week of it. And watching Brian hang out with the kids, I just got to say, I got exposed to him a bit. A lot of people at tabletop say they rarely see Brian smile, but I see him smile all the time. I really believe what I'm doing is what Brian would really want to do every single day. I think I've never seen him as happy as coming to the schools with me and hanging out with the kids and just like teaching them how to play Pokemon. Like, I think it's genuinely a really positive impact on their lives. And I really feel like when they come and I keep on thinking when I've played Pokemon, it's just like, I think about all the friends I've made and like the wonderful community I've been a part of. I'm like, I wish I was doing this earlier. I wish I started playing Pokemon way earlier. This is such an awesome activity. It's such a wonderful community. I feel, I think a community can like mean a lot to people as a whole. I think people feel lonely and they're like, you know, just through COVID as a whole. I think there's a big need in people's lives for something like having people to fall back and support them on. And Tabletop Village is such a wonderful part of that. And I feel just really happy bringing that to people, you know?
I think that's like a really interesting thing, because I'm kind of in that same boat of I wish I had started playing sooner. For all of our outside listeners who are not from Seattle, there's a thing called the Seattle Furries, where it's like, oh, you moved to Seattle and people are nice to you, but you don't actually make friends when you're in this city. And I had started playing Pokemon and found that to be incredibly untrue, because the community is so opening, like open, welcoming, and all that good stuff. So yeah, it is beautiful that we're also bringing this now to younger individuals as well, to get them into like, hey, you like this thing, so do a lot of other people. And then that community is there and open and welcoming and inclusive, and everything else that Tabletop Village stands for is not just a company or a business. Because let me tell you, Brian, can you agree with this statement or not? You are not out here to become the richest person in the world. That's not the reason you're running a business.
No, if you go back and watch that first podcast that I did, it's funny because the same person that Owen was talking about earlier about her daughter finding her identity, like I just had the conversation and she was like, well, what are you going to talk about? And I was like, we're going to talk about why we do this. And she was like, well, why do you do it? And I was like, because there's only two, for me, there's really only two things in life that are most important. Either it's you can find ways to make yourself happy, or you can find ways to make other people happy.
Mm-hmm.
And making other people happy is what we do. And that's, these kids are happy. They're happy whether they're opening packs, they're happy playing cards, they're happy collecting, they're happy winning, they're happy losing, they're happy being with their friends. And I strongly believe, like, if we can just continue to make these kids happy, right, they're going to see that and want the same thing and want to make other people happy. It's the giving nature, I believe, is like the most human nature thing about us, is seeing others happy. And so, yes, will we be rich doing this? No. Will we have a lot of fun? Will we make a lot of people happy? Yes, for sure. Can it last forever? I think that's our path. Like, it would become like generational, and as long as Pokemon exists, and I think it always will, and then we'll be able to have to do this forever, and then our children will do it, and their children will do it, because it's such a great thing to do. And why not? Why not this? I mean, there's probably other things that people do. Soccer, sports, you know, chess, right? They do those things. It makes people happy. And so that's why we do it. And Owen's right. Like, I would love to not have to go into work every day and figure out the bills and the taxes and payroll and all those other things. I will someday hopefully let someone else do that. And I can just go and teach. I would rather just go into the schools and teach kids.
Yeah, I feel like Brian gave me his dream job, you know. I think I have the best job at Tabletop Village. I was gonna say that out there. I'm so grateful for Brian and all that we've done. Yeah, and all he's done for me too.
So Brian, what is in the future for Tabletop Village outside of Paldean Fates coming out and people going to tabletopvillage.com and using code MELLOW5 for 5% off their order of Paldean Fates? What can we expect from Tabletop Village?
I think what you can expect, and I believe it'll be in the short future, is we've executed this after school program. It is working. Owen's done a great job, and it is able to be duplicated. We're going to open a couple more stores and see how they go, and then open a couple more, teach more after school programs. I'm definite. I'm going to do this. I'm going to speak this into like existence. I played against a player who was deaf, and it was one of the best matches I've ever had in my life. And I almost start crying, but we've had a blind player play in our shop, and there are folks with disabilities. Who are, you know, who can't see or can't hear, but that doesn't mean you can't play Pokemon. You can play Pokemon, and I think there are elementary schools for deaf children. We can teach them to play Pokemon. Why can't they have an after school program too, right? And if we do this, then we also say Pokemon, hey, you have to be able to do ASL. Like, it's important. We need ASL interpreters for ASL kids, for juniors and seniors, and they're traveling around the world, and they're playing at regionals, and so we're going to have to need those interpreters, and you're going to have to do this signage on, you know, on stream, right? And I was talking to Paul Johnston over at Pokemon, and he was like, man, that'd be awesome, right? I truly believe that's Pokemon is for everyone. We can all play. And so I need to say it, because I'm going to do it. I think it's great. I think it would be a great program. And so those children and those people, and children are everywhere. Elementary schools are everywhere, right? We can do this. Like, there's plenty of cards. There's plenty of cards to go around for everyone, right? There's plenty of local game stores. I'm talking to people in Australia. I'm talking to people in the Philippines. Like, people love the idea of this program, and they don't love it because I'm like, hey, you want to make some money? They love it because it's just like, yeah, man, that's amazing. I want to do that. I want to share. I want to teach kids, right? So that's the future. I don't know. There's 50 states. Start there.
Brian, if people do want to reach out to you about anything, running Tabletop Village, running a store, or potential franchise opportunities, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at my email. Email me. You can DM me. I probably will see it. Twitter is probably the best one. I've gotten pretty good at Twitter.
You have.
Way better. Like, a lot more, doing a lot more on Twitter. So you probably find me on Twitter at tabletopvillage.com or tabletopvillage. And then email me, Brian at tabletopvillage.com. Go to our website. There's an info thing there. If you hit that info and fill it out and ask a question or send the email through the contact form on tabletopvillage.com, that goes straight to me, and I will answer back. I promise.
And Owen, if people want to contact you about anything about the after-school program, how they might want to start one on their own, or maybe just the Sunday family leagues and some of those ideas of how to get their Pokemon League a little more interesting, how can people contact you?
I think Owen at emailing Owen at Tabletop Village is the best way. I am not on Twitter for Pokemon reasons a lot of the time, but I just see Brian. Okay, short aside, I see Brian talking to everyone about, like, we're going to open a store everywhere. And I'm over here thinking, oh, man, I better not mess this up. But email Owen at Tabletop Village. It's the best place to reach me.
Myself, Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube at Mellow Underscore Magikarp. Follow the podcast at Lake of Rage Pod. This has been another episode of the Lake of Rage Podcast. Catch you all next week.